We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM. We're going to spend the majority of the show today talking about the legacy of BYU legend and Hall of Fame football coach Lavelle Edwards. We have a special guest right now joining us over the telephone. He was the head football coach at Utah State from 1983 to 1985, and he was also a part of Lavelle Edwards' staff at BYU from 1986 to 2003 when he was the recruiting coordinator and also coaching the kicking squad and the in tight ends as well. We have Chris Pella joining us over the phone right now. Coach, it's great to talk to you. A pleasure to get you on today. I appreciate the time.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here and be a part of the legacy, and hopefully I can add something to the great legacy that Lavelle's left for all of us.
Well, that's exactly what we've been talking about today. I mean, the list of accomplishments, I mean, you could spend 2-3 hours just going over everything that Lavelle Edwards has accomplished. I mean, at the beginning of the show, I referred to him as the most influential college football coach, definitely in the state of Utah. And in my mind, Coach, he's one of the most influential college football coaches of all time. He really changed the way the game is played today.
Well, absolutely, and I think if you go back, the American Football Coaches Association, which was kind of the association for our coaches in the United States, he was actually president of that association and very active in the association with Grant Taft and Bo Schembechler. I just remember a lot of the times going back to the convention, meeting with Lavelle and Bear Bryant and Bo Schembechler and Woody Hayes and just all of the great names in the sport, you know, all come together to kind of make our game the best we can make it and to kind of establish criteria. But, you know, the one thing that was always stood out is Lavelle was always represented an honest, hardworking, committed person that was committed to the game. But he was committed to the kids and committed to doing it the right way.
I think you hit it right on the head, doing it the right way. I mean, in 29 seasons at BYU, we had one losing season, and that's incredible to think about. He went to 22 bowl games, had one losing season, and this was a program that wasn't very good traditionally when he took over.
Well, that was true. He being at the right place at the right time and having the vision to kind of remake a turn or a U-turn and kind of take that program in a different direction was a really important part of the BYU legacy that he left. And I think one of the fun things about the whole process that he went through was that, you know, he lived and learned, too, just like the rest of us in coaching. He learned from other people and learned lessons. But, you know, I think the biggest thing was that he knew what he wanted to do and had a plan and then stuck with it.
Chris Pella, again, our guest right now. He was the head football coach at Utah State from 1983 to 1985, and then he was a part of Lavelle Edwards' squad from 1986 to 2003. Coach, you competed against Lavelle Edwards well before you actually joined his staff. What kind of a competitor was he?
Well, you know, his emotion, his demeanor has always been pretty much the same over the years, but he was always a great sport, winning or losing. You know, he went through the era of losing, you know, so he was humble. And I think that humility carried him through the rest of his career when he was a very, very, you know, very successful and winning all the time coach. And so I think his personality never really changed. But, you know, and his philosophy stayed consistent, and he was able to accomplish, you know, quite a few goals that he had hoped to accomplish. And it was fun. I remember in 1983 when I was the head coach of Utah State, Steve Young was the quarterback of Brigham Young, and we played him down there. And Steve Young scored, I think, with 9 seconds to go. And they kind of pulled an upset. It would have been an upset if we'd have won. But Hal Garner was one of my linebackers, went on to play with the Buffalo Bills. He had intercepted a pass in that game. They ruled it as an incompletion, but they didn't have instant review at that time. And so we never got a good break on that call, or we'd have won that game. But like I told Lavelle, your legacy would have changed quite a bit, and Steve Young's, if I'd have interrupted that 25-game winning streak you guys were on that time. So I said, I felt sorry for you and let you win that game.
Well, the next year you got to see a BYU national championship squad. You guys competed against them, and they ended up getting the best of you guys 38-13, but I'm sure that was very emotional to go up against a team like that that eventually went on to win the national championship, an unbeaten squad.
Oh, absolutely. And we thought we would actually, I think, put Robbie Bosco out of the game at one time, but he came back in. And we toughened him up a little bit for that big run down the stretch. That's what our claim, that we toughened Robbie Bosco up so he could win that national championship for him.
After you leave Utah State, you go and join Lavelle's staff from 1986 to 2003. What are some of the things that you picked up from this coach while you were working as recruiting coordinator and working with the kickers and the tight ends? What are some of the things that you picked up from Lavelle?
Well, he was a players coach, and he was really committed to the players. And I think the bottom line was they're the ones that go on the field and perform. And if they're all committed and if they're all in the same spot, I think one of the big things is when kids feel like you're doing everything you can do to make them successful and you're trying to help them on and off the field, and they buy into that, they're going to do everything they can to win that game for you and be successful on the field. And I think that was a great, great part of the process that I learned from Lavelle. And then accepting the responsibilities he gave you as a coach, and you were really motivated because you put that responsibility upon your shoulders to give you a responsibility in what you coached and how, you know, and basically how you coached it, and then give you a chance to prove that you could do a good job. And I've always appreciated that, and I've always appreciated the fact that he understood how to utilize his personnel and make you feel good as a coach and as a player.
Throughout the day, we've heard stories about Lavelle Edwards on the field and the connection that he had with his players. Did that connection carry over off of the field as well? I mean, it seems to me that a lot of his previous players held a great relationship with them years after they had finished playing at BYU.
Oh, absolutely. And like I say, he put the responsibility of coaching the technical part of the game from the offense, defense, and special teams. I spent a lot of time on the sidelines with him. I was responsible for special team substitutions. So if it was a situation where you had to decide about going for one or two or an onside kick or a fake field goal or a fake punt or whatever the scenario was, I always had to clear it with him before we did anything. And he was always quite conservative, but he was willing to listen and take a he wasn't a risk taker, so to speak, but he was always willing to listen. And if it made sense to him, we would try it. And then he'd always ask, how were you in range for a field goal or do we need to punt and all those type of questions. So he always had control of the game from that standpoint. But as far as the offensive game plan and defensive game plan, he let our staffs just really kind of organize things and pull it off. Certainly if he had an inclination to change something or why we're doing this or that, we would certainly know about it and be given, some direction to go to, to make sure we were fulfilling what he wanted to be done.
Well, his coaching tree is just magnificent. I mean, if you look at the Mike Holmgrens and the Kyle Whittinghams and the Andy Reid and Norm Chow and Steve Sarkisian, Brian Billick, you look at some of the players that came through the program from 1974 through 1991, 11 times his quarterbacks finished in the top 10 of the Heisman vote. What made him such a terrific recruiter?
Well, I think one of the big things about the program is I think kids realize his sincerity. And when he sat in a home with a set of parents and told them that he was going to make sure this young man got an education and set goals in his life that are going to give him a chance to be successful in life after football, I think they believed him. And then obviously you start building a tradition and you have some success and you have kids go on, the Mark Wilsons, the Gifford Nielsens, the Steve Youngs, even Jim McMahon, even though he kind of was a different image and a different scenario, the guy was loyal to Lavelle and he played a role and brought BYU some recognition. And so I think the thing of his strength was the family and people really believed that their son was going to be taken care of at BYU.
Everyone talks about the 1984 season, rightfully so. They won a national championship, a season that you were a part of. And really, if I look at the 29 years of Lavelle Edwards' history, I was alive for part of it. The one season that stands out to me is always going to be the 1996 season. You guys go 14-1. You started the season unranked, and you climbed to number 5. I remember you guys topped Kansas State in the Cotton Bowl that year. We're talking about a team with Steve Sarkisian and Brian McKenzie and James Dye and Omar Morgan. Was that the best squad that you had under Lavelle Edwards?
I think in the era, you could mix and you could put some of the Ty Detmer teams together that were pretty solid too. But top to bottom, I still think that was probably the best team at the time that I was there and in charge of recruiting. being a tight ends coach, it was fun for me because I had a bookend tight ends, Chad Lewis and Itula Mealy, that were both NFL veterans and went on to, you know, have great careers. And it was just part of the trauma of that season was when we lost Itula Mealy in the WAC championship game in Las Vegas just before the Cotton Bowl. But you couldn't believe how that team came together for the Cotton Bowl and the commitment they made to go out and win that game, not only for LaBelle, but for Itula and the other players that were able to play in that game. And so I certainly think that the chemistry, just everything was right. One of the players that was kind of interesting, his name was Brian Gray, was one of our cornerbacks on that team. And when I was coaching at Utah State University, his dad actually played for me at Utah State, named Freddie Gray. We played Southern Mississippi when Ray Guy was their kicker. And Ray Guy actually kicked a record NCAA field goal and the longest field goal in Romney Stadium that game. But we also blocked the only punt that he had blocked as a punter in college and in the professionals, and ended up winning the game by his dad. Freddie Gray blocked the punt and won the game for us. So it was fun to coach Freddie and then coach his son, Brian, and see that, you know, that second generation. But it was just a great, great chemical group. And kids that really cared about each other. And we had some really good, talented, skill-level players.
You were at the school for a few years after LaBelle had retired and walked away from the game. Did his legacy, it's never left BYU, right? I mean, the idea of LaBelle Edwards and what he accomplished during his time, it's never going to leave that school. I'm sure it was still floating around when you were there for those few seasons after he had retired.
Well, I think so. And then when Gary Cronin became the head coach, you know, I was involved somewhat in the recruiting, still part of the process, and director of football operations for a few years. And that, you obviously, you can't take that tradition took years to build, and it's going to be there for the school. And I think that's the fun thing about Kalani Sitake, that he's kind of really made it an emphasis point to bring back the tradition of the old school tradition of LaBelle Edwards days. And I think they're going to, you know, have a great deal of success and build on that. It doesn't make sense to take a something that's been created and built to a high level of success and then try and change it all. And I think you just keep building to that legacy and just make it even greater.
The longevity, the accomplishments, the record, I mean, sitting seventh all-time is wins, second for most wins behind one school, winning a national championship, coaching up a Heisman Trophy-winning quarterback. I mean, I think it's safe to say, right, Coach, that we're talking about the most influential college football coach, or maybe even the most influential sports coach in general, to ever grace the state of Utah when we talk about LaBelle Edwards.
Well, I think absolutely for sure, and I think you can move him into the top 10 in the nation. I mean, when you talk about Bo Schembechler and Bear Bryant and Grant Taft and some of these coaches, you know, LaBelle's name comes up naturally outside of this area with those same people's names. I mean, he's well-known. He's a lot of the guys in the NFL. Even Mike Holmgren, you know, he's the one I took his place when I went down to BYU. And then I've known Mike, you know, all these years. That legacy is followed LaBelle wherever these coaches that have been involved in this program have gone and taken that legacy with them, too.
Coach, last question before I let you go. If somebody is to come up to you and they say, describe to me what LaBelle Edwards not only meant to the state of Utah, not only to BYU, but to you personally, and what you picked up from him and what his lasting legacy would be, what would you say to that person?
Oh, I think it's like a brotherhood. I really do. I think he's more than just a father figure. He's kind of a father figure and a brother figure and you know, somebody that you've been to battle with. It's kind of like a veteran of foreign wars. You know, you have an association with those that have made sacrifices and did everything they can to bring this kind of success to the program and to help these kids along their way. And being part of that is just like being a part of the core, and it's just certainly something more than just being a part of something and just a casual thing. It's certainly something that's going to be a part of my life, the rest of my life too, and certainly appreciated being a part of it, and appreciated LaBelle and the confidence he's had in me over the years and the responsibilities and the things that I've learned. And I'd love to go back and be a head coach again. And, you know, you build with every experience you have in coaching. it would have been fun to go back and be a head coach after all those years, and after experiencing that legacy and being able to add some of those philosophies to my philosophy would have been great.
Chris Pella, again, former Utah State football coach, also spent many, many years on the BYU coaching staff as a recruiting coordinator under Lavelle Edwards. Coach Pella, I really appreciate you taking out the time today to discuss the legacy of Lavelle Edwards and share a few memories. I really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Well, you're more than welcome, and thank you for bringing this information to about Lavelle and honoring him. He's certainly well-deserved, and I appreciate all you're doing, too. So have a great day.
You too, Coach. Thank you so much.
You bet.
Again, that's Coach Chris Pella, former longtime BYU assistant under Lavelle Edwards, taking out the time to give us some of his personal memories as the BYU and college football legend passed away earlier today at the age of 86. We've got to pause for just a moment. We have more Drive Time Sports coming up right after this.